Good morning, this is Dr. Hardin, and I am getting ready for Moments of Inspiration. I'm coming to you a little bit earlier today, and for those that it's a little inconvenient for you, I thank you. I have an engagement that I need time to get there, but I didn't want to miss Moments of Inspiration with you because you matters to me. You matters to me. And I just wanted you to know that you are one that matters to me. Thank you, Shamar. And today I'm going to deal with something that I dealt with in our Sunday message. And I know many of you have your own engagement on Sunday, and you have not probably had an opportunity to watch Sunday's message. So I'm going to give you a snippet of what we shared, but the snippet that I give you, you're going to be able to digest it. You're going to be able to use it. And we pray, God, that it's going to be a benefit to you. Good morning, Sister Chambers. God bless you. It's going to be a blessing to you. Let me pray. Dear God, I thank you that you, God, are who you say you are. Thank you, God, that you know everything, and God, you're everywhere. You have all power. And we pray today, God, that these that are watching, those that tune in, even at a later time, the words that you use me, the message that you've given me to my heart to share with them today, will be a blessing to them and their families and others that they post it and pass it on. And we give you glory, God, that many will hear this and it will embrace them and help them to understand what the word of God and the power that you have in your word. And now I pray, God, for families. I pray for leaders. I pray for people everywhere that you would bless. In Jesus' name, God, anoint me this morning for this message. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. God bless you. Bless you, Sister Freeman. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to talk this morning about some of the things I shared with my congregation on this past Sunday. That's right, this past Sunday, and my wife shared at 11. But I'm going to share from you, and I'm talking about the power of love. That's right, the power of love. There is power in love that we must discover. Thank you, Sister Bailey. That we must discover. Now, let me read the scriptures here. St. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." As I have loved you. And so that's the first scripture. The second scripture, that was St. John 13:34. The second scripture is 1 Corinthians 13:13. "And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Charity is love in action. Charity is love in action. Now, how do you say that? Okay, when there's charitable organization, they give food, they give clothes, they give information, they give benefits to help. That's love in action. Now, Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, greatness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law. And thank you, Brenda Haywood, for watching. So there is no law for love. So what I'm going to do to share with you in these next 30 minutes, I'm going to share with you about the power of love, the power of love. And the best gift, men, that you can give to your wife, and I know this Valentine's Day just went by, but it shouldn't just be Valentine's Day that you all share your love and gifts. It shouldn't just be that day. It should be every day should be Valentine's Day. Every day it should be a day that God have made and that God is rejoicing and thinking, you're rejoicing and thanking God for it. And I just want to holler out a shout. I read it this morning and I posted on your some remarks for Brother Greg and Sister Carrie. Just you, both of you all, Sister Sabrina and Sister Carrie and Brother Carrie. I just want you all to know that happy anniversary to both of you. I remember that day. I remember that day well. I married you all and thank God for you. Now, that's love. Now, let me get back to this. Now, I want to share with you the seven Greek words that undergird the word love. Now, these Greek words doesn't all apply with the Bible, but these are the words they use for love. In our language, we only use, when we use the word love, or lovely, or whatever, or passionate, so forth, that means there's some love there. But the Greek used seven words. It used to be just five, but lately here, it came into seven. And so the first word then for the Greek used for love is the word eros, E-R-O-S, eros. And so this eros love, the Greek describe it, is a form of madness brought about by a little guy they call Cupid. I'm pretty sure you've heard of Cupid, C-U-P-I-D, Cupid, a little statue with wings on it, a little man with an arrow drawn back, and he's supposed to shoot the arrow, and it lands into the hearts of the woman, the man, and then they instantly fall in love. Now, that was a Roman god, and we know that that's not true. That's not true. We it's something about love that you don't know the moment of the time that it happened, but you do know it happened. It could be overnight. It could be months and so forth, and it's builds and build, and it grows. That's real love. But now this eros love is sexual love. This is a love that is existing. It was created and it exists for married couples, for people that are married. This is not for people that are single. This is not for people that don't have a wife or husband. It's not for people that's something that you play with. This is very important. It is erotic love. It's a sexual of compassion love, and most likely the kind we call romantic love. And that's what this Eric's love is. Now, when what God said about love, he said, a new commandment I give you in St. John 13:34, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have heard love you. Thank you, Aletha, for tuning in. So what we look at then, that the love that God have given us and the love that he's bestowed on us, it is a love that is erotic, but it's only for married people. It's romantic. God married Adam and Eve when it was only two peoples in the world that he had created. He married them before there was any romantic thing going on. All right. Now, and then 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, 13:13 said, and now about his faith, hope, charity, and these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And I told you, charity is love in action. It's love in action. So all of this comes, these are love that God is describing and telling us that the fruit of the Spirit, the greatest thing about the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. It's not about, you cannot. He started out with first is love, and then after love, note what he says here in Galatians 5:22-23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. First of all, if you don't have love, you don't have joy. If you don't have joy, you don't have peace. If you don't have peace, you don't have going to have long suffering. If you don't have long suffering, you can't have gentleness and you won't have goodness, and you won't have faith and meekness and temperance. All those things are predicated on love. So we have to learn how to love the godly way. All right, I don't have a lot of time, so let's get to the second one. The second Greek word that they use for love is the word philia. Phileo is, Philadelphia is the city of love, or stand for love. Phileo, this is the love of friendship for one of three reasons. Here's three reasons that you love. First thing that causes you to love is useful. How useful and how beneficial, thank you, Sister Miller, how beneficial is this person in your life? The second reason is pleasant. Are they pleasant to be around? Are you happy to be around folks? There are some folks you're not happy to be around. I don't care what you say, you're not happy to be around them. And then number three, Are he or she good? Is this person good? So these are some of the major three things that phileo love looks at. Is your useful? Are they pleasant? Or are they good? And then are they good? Do they have good representation around you? Are they companionship? Are they trustworthy? That's what this Greek word phileo love mean. Now, and Elikos commentary, Elikos commentary, the readers, he left this a man that have friend should show himself friendly. Now, if you want to have friend, you got to show yourself friendly. You can't walk around looking like you've been sucking on lemons all day and think folk going to be friendly with you. No, you have to show yourself friendly. So a man must show himself friendly if he want to have friend. That's what Elikos said. Now, many friends, and notice this, it's going to cost you something. Thank you, Sister Moore, again. Now, a man that have many friends, you're going to suffer a lot of loss. The more friends you have, the more it costs you in time, effort, pain. Sometimes, because why you gonna, notice what it said. Many friend will suffer loss, for he will impoverish himself by constantly hospitality, constantly giving out, constantly doing things for people that is your friend. And then when you get in trouble, some of them will desert you. That's right, some of them will desert you. So it's costly to have a good friend, but that's the phileo love. Then Proverbs 18:24, he said, but there's a friend, one in a thousand, that sticketh closer than a brother. Now that one in a thousand is a new translation, but it's probably true. It's not, you don't have that many true friends. You don't have that many true friends. But the power of love that gives you a friend, it means that you sometimes will cling to that friend more than you will normally anybody else. You would cling to them because you don't have that many friends. And friends are few and in between. Now, so what what I want you to understand then, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. So a friend loves at all time. When you have a real friend, that's the power of love. When you have a real friend, they love you when you're down. They love you when you're sad. They love you when you're in trouble. They love you when you're broke. They love you when you're happy. That's a real friend. They love at all time. They don't have no specific reason why they love you. They will come to your rescue. It doesn't mean even if you move out of town, or you're out of town, or they're out of town, or a thousand miles away, if they hear that you're in trouble, they're going to come to your rescue. That's a real friend. That's a real friend. And so that's what we want to understand. Real friend will come at any time. That's the phileo kind of love. Now, kind of love. Psalm 41:9. Say, yea, my own family, David said, my own familiar friend and whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heels against me. Now, there are some people that say they're your friend, but they will do you wrong. They will do stuff that you don't know. Some of them is sticking you in your back. Some of them is lying about you, saying things, putting your name out on the road, and you think that they are your friend. But a friend loveth at all time. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. So sometimes your brothers and your sisters cause you trouble. They are born for adversity. That's right, adversity. Because what? You do things for them because that's my brother, that's my sister. I'm going to do something for them. And you do it, and sometimes you get your own self in trouble. Sometimes you get yourself in trouble in marriage by helping family members that before you you consult with your spouse. Your spouse now, and when you marry, you don't just continue to let your brother, your cousin, your uncle, your sister come over and go through your refrigerator, get money and all that stuff. You got to go, now you're one. And so you got to consider that other mate. And so I'm helping somebody who don't know it. That's what that phileo love does. It causes you to do things that you normally should not do. And so the phileo love then is the love of friends. A friend. And now, the Greek words, we got this word phileo, and they are affected in each other, therapy. Now, that's what a good friend will do, is therapy. A good friend is therapy, because if you call them, they give you something, they'll talk about you, they'll tell you what's right, what's wrong. They're therapists to each other. And that's what a good friend's about. Now, it helps you to find friend with some degree of openness and insight, both to change and to be changed. So a friend will help change you while you help change them. That's right. They won't say, oh, you talking about me. No, they know I wouldn't tell you this if I didn't love you. I wouldn't tell you this if I didn't care for you. But this is that. Or you said this, or you said that to that person. You owe them an apology. You may be a little uptight about it, but because they're your friend, you will do it. They can help change you, and you will help change them. Now, the third Greek word for love is storge. S-T-O-R-G-E, storge. Now, it's a kind of familiar love, and it's different from the phileo love, because it's tend to be for younger children. It's the love of your children. It's the cheering love for the parent, the mother, and cousin, and aunts. It's a family type love. And it's the type of love that we can, it's different from eros. It's not a sexual type love. And the phileo love is a love of friend. But this is a love that you are born with. It's a love that you'd be surprised, you young folks and you mothers and grandparents. Let me give you a good example of stork love, storgy love. Now here it is. You have children. When that first child is born, oh my God, it's just all the love you have for your wife or your husband. There's that child now, and you fall in love with that child. You fall in love with that child, my God, and you just love them. Oh my God, you love them. And then all of a sudden, another one shows up. And when they show up, guess what, Janice? They love that you fall in love with them too. That's right. You fall in love with them just as much as you did with that first one or that second one and the third one. Now, when your children are all grown and they have children, they're the grandchildren. And this love start calls you to love the grandchildren. And oh, you want to be around them. And oh, then now you can say, oh, they look just like their mom or their dad. Oh, they look like me. Oh, this is grandpa. This is papa. This is grandma. You want them. You love them. That's that starch love. And then if you have a great grandchild, you love them. Now you got your child you love. You got your husband you love. Your wife you love. Your child you love. Your grandchild, great grandchild. All of them, you're sharing this love. And that love comes out different. And that's that storch love. It means his stored love. His love that's stored up. Thank you, Sister Robin, Angel. So his stored love, his love that's stored up that we don't even know about until it happened. And it's a strange thing. I have 15 grandchildren five children, 15 grandchildren and 15 great grandkids. And I love every one of them. I'm every one of them. I mean, the other day, one of them had a birthday 2 years old, one of my great granddaughters, 2 years old, 2 years old. And we headed at the park, a little getting together, a little thing for it at the park. And I get out of my car and she ran. Oh, papa, papa, papa. Oh, you know, it made me feel good. I tell you the truth, it made me feel good because they recognize you. And so that's love that was stored up for, and I still got love. Now, if there's some more great grandkid, I'm going to love them just as much as I love the others. And so that's what the stork love does. And it's different from eros love because it's not affectionate. It's not sectionate. It's different from phileo love because it's not for friends and compromise with them and so forth. So it's different. It's the love that you have. This stork love is like the parable in the Bible. The parable in the Bible about the good, about the prodigal son that he left. And he told his father when he got of age, he said, give me my portion. And he had a portion of the inheritance. And the inheritance was the oldest son would get 2/3 and the other son would get 1/3 or whatever was left his father had left. So his father then argued with him. He said, I'm my age. His father gave him his 1/3. And he left, went out on his own, didn't know nothing about the world. He'd been sheltered by his father, taken care of by his father. And he went out on his own and spent all of his money in rowdiest living. Rowdiest living is dealing with drinking, rowdy religion, dealing with prostitute, fornication, drugs, whatever we want to call it. Rowdiest living, living that's living that is not acceptable by God's lifestyle. He did that, but he thought he had a lot of friends. But he found out something. There are sunshine friends. There are friends when you have, and there are friends when you have not. When he spent all he had, they deserted him. They deserted him, and he was in a foreign country. And when I say a foreign country, unfamiliar places, and he was there, and he couldn't get a job. The job that he got, they gave to him feeding the pigs. That put this feeding the pig, and he got so hungry he desired to eat the pods that the pig was what the pig was supposed to eat. Now it tells you that he was temporarily crazy, because the Bible said he came to himself. That's right, he came to himself, and so it means he was temporarily insane for getting his money and wasting it. And I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna go there with that. This about people doing that today, but his father always remembered he was his son. His father's expectation were, my son is going to come back to me. And it has seemed and appeared that that stoic love had his father looking every day for him to come back, expecting him any day to be coming back down that road. It was a one-way road that led into the farmer's house. And he waited and watched every day looking for his son to come. And one day he looked down the road from afar and he said, my son is coming home. Now, how did he know that stoic love? Something he knew from a distance that was his son. Maybe he'd walk like him, but he was raggedy. He was raggedy. His father could see he was raggedy, and he could see that that was his son. So he told them to go and get the best robe. He told them to get a ring to put on his finger to show that he still belonged to the family, and to kill the fattest calf, and that my son that was lost is alive now, and he's on his way home. He's coming home. I want you to get ready to have a party because he's on his way back. And do you understand? God rejoices when we that have been lost come to him, a restore. He has to restore, and he don't restore us with fussing and arguing. What do you do this? Why do you do that? You're hard-headed. You're stupid. You're angry. You're no good. I'll never do that. No, he takes us back with arms wide open. That is the stark love. We are God's servant. And when we realize that we belong to God, we realize that God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. That stoic love is from God. All love is from God. That's the power of God's love. Regardless of what you do, God loves you, and he still loves you. You are still his son. You're still his daughter. You're still the one that you said you are. Sometimes in this life, people get mad with a son or daughter and say, we're going to disown you. But God said, God never disowned us. And even if you say you disown the child, they still yours. They got your gene. They have your genes. They have your look, they have your thoughts. Some of your thoughts, you was promising stuff that you see them doing. You did it. You just didn't get caught. Oh, God, help me here today. So he said, I'm going to get my son. And so his elder son, that had never went any place, but didn't realize, he already knew that 2/3 of everything his father had belonged to him. And he's heard the music and he said, what's going on? And so he went and asked the servant. The servant said, he's given your son that was lost is coming home and he's given him a party. He went to his daddy to insult him and said to his father, said, why are you doing this to this boy, this brother? He's doing all this stupid stuff that went here and went there, and you're going to give him a party? And why not? You never did this for me. And he said, son, all that I have is yours. Everything now left is yours. You can have a party anytime you want. You could have had everybody you want over. This is yours. Don't be upset because I'm giving him. This is your brother that was lost, but now he is found. That's what stoic love is. Stoic love is the love for family. It is the love for an appreciation for those that are lost. And you don't have to have special knowledge to know that. But it's just something that you have. The fourth love that I want to talk about real quick is ludus. L-U-D-U-S. It's a playful love. It's a love, a playful love, a love for playing, a love for doing this. Thank you, Margaret. It's the love for a playful love, a love that you would like to have just with a person, but there's no strings attached. It may be on the job. It may be wherever that you and this person just talk, or you have a little talk every now and then, and maybe you got involved in a romantic relationship. So no strings attached. Now, we ain't going to tell nobody this ain't going to happen, but that's ludicrous. That's right. That's where the ludicrous come in, is that love like that, it don't work. It don't work. One going to fall in love, and one going to start to try to protect the other. One going to get mad. That's right. They're going to get mad, Reuben. They're going to get mad, Sister Chase. They're going to get mad. Now, so how do I know they're going to get mad? They're going to get mad because they get that little possession. Both of you can't handle ludus. One of you going to go going to be a ludicrous. Okay, and so that's going to happen. So that type of love don't work. It causes party. You know, people go be dancing together. Or they be just dancing together. This is my dancing partner. And all of a sudden, it goes further than that. So that's ludus. Now, James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endure temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which he'll the Lord have promised to them that love him. But let no man say, verse 13, let no man say he's tempted. I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted and with evil, and neither tempt he any man. Now notice it. But verse 14 says, for every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when he in lust have conceived, it bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Do not err. Now, this is what he's telling you. Don't err. And thank you, Sister Green. And that, thank you for tuning in. Now, don't err. Don't do that. Don't go fooling around with this ludus love and then get involved and then say, oh, I would have never did this. And they No. You were drawn away of your own lust. You're the one. If you're going to hit somebody, pop yourself side the head and try to shake some sense back into yourself. Don't do that. All right, let me go on now to number five. The fifth type of love is called philautis. Philautis, philautia. Philautis. Now, this is the love of self. This is self-love. That means that, my God, you love yourself and nobody. Oh, you, nobody. You're the hottest bag of popcorn in the audience. If nobody can love like you love. Nobody can be like you be. Nobody can dress like you dress. You are it. That's right. You are it. You're more than 50 cents. You're 99% of everything. You are the reason that everybody else is jealous of you. That's the philautis love. Now, that's the love of self. And Paul told us in Romans 12:1, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of Lord, that you present your body of living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. Then he said in verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Now, I didn't say you not to think good things about yourself, but don't think more highly than you ought. Don't think that there's nobody better than you, that there's nobody can do this better than you. Nobody look better than you. Nobody dress better than you. Nobody speaks better than you. That's that philautis type of love, and it doesn't work. You're gonna lose friend, and you're gonna have a bad relationship because pretty soon you're gonna blow your own mind. You're gonna blow your own mind and find out you're not all that you think you are. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have some failures and things in our life that causes us to be fraudulent, when I say in our behavior and in our attitude. Now, the sixth Greek word for love is the word pragma, P-R-A-G-M-A, pragma, and the continuation that is pragmatic. That's a love, a practice love. That's found in a certain way that you carry yourself. You practice that way. You practice clapping your hand. You practice doing this. You practice walking a certain way. It's a practical characteristic of the term. What you're interested in. You're not interested. If anything is done out of that pragma way, you're not satisfied with it. You're the person that if you got to see a picture on the wall, and you're that person that see a picture on the wall and it's a little bit crooked. Everybody else seeing it's a little crooked, didn't bother them. But you cannot, you can't be still. You can't, you got to go straighten that picture up. If somebody's collar is out, you can't, the necktie is not tied right. You got to do it right. You just have to do it. That's that pragmatic person, long-term interest, and taking back a backseat in favor of personal quality. They want everything to fit just like they wanted to fit, Nothing is going to satisfy them unless it's correct in their sight. If it's not corrected in their sight, it's just not going to fit. And so that's what that pragma person do. Now, we go on from that and we leave there and we get to the love that was number six. And number seven is the final love. That's agape love. That's the Greek word for agape. Agape, this is a universal love. This is the love that people have to really work at, because only God and his son, Jesus Christ, have agape love. Agape love doesn't love you because. It doesn't love you because. It loves you in spite of. For while we were yet sinners, God let his son die for us. He commended his love to us while we were sinners. And that's the love, that agape love. It's the love that God said to his disciples, I am commanding you. I'm commanding you. And a new commandment. He commanded them. Now, the rest of the love, there was no commandment. You learned them. But he said, a new love, I am commanding you. And that's Sister Aletha. He said, I'm commanding you to give you this love, that you love one another even as I have loved you. So we have to love this agape love. When you are born again, God gives you a love for people and places and things that you, that nobody can take from you. You love not in spite of, but because of. I mean, not because, but in spite of. You love. There's some people that you love. You just don't love their way. You don't love what they're doing. You don't love what they're saying. You don't love how they treat you, but you love them in spite of what they are doing. And that's what God wants you to understand, that he wants us to understand that he loved us not because we were so doing so good, not because my mama was saved, my daddy was saved, not because my cousin or my aunt was saved, not because I gave this type of money and so forth. No, in spite of that, agape love loved the murderer. Agape love loved a rapist. Agape love loved the person that have cut somebody's throat. Agape love loves in spite of. And listen, God loves you enough that he wanted to save you and send his son to die in your stead. But if you don't repent, his love also will send you to hell, because he said, I can't mix up my love with people that will not obey me. And so the agape love is a love that is so much. It is the love that he said out of the three. Out of these three. So I want you to understand something. He said, for when we look at this, he said, and now they're by faith, they're by hope, they're by charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Love in action. Agape love is always in action. Agape love is always helping somebody. Agape love is always telling somebody what's right, straighten them out, and putting them on right street. Agape love, even when you say that you're not going to love them anymore. And my wife on Sunday, and she closed out her part, she talked about Hosea, how that God allowed him to marry a prostitute. And she was prostituted and still prostituted. The first child wasn't healed, and next child were not healed, and all of these things. And he said, I'm going to put her away. But God told her, go back and get her. Told him to go back and get her. This is what I've done for you. I'm showing you that Israel have committed a fornication and adultery and walked away from me, but I can't stop loving her. I can't stop loving Israel. And so agape love is the love that your child may be messing up, your husband, the wife messing up, your children are messing up, and your friends are messing up. But it's something about the agape love that said, I can't stop loving them. I cannot let them go, and I won't let them go. I'm going to take them back. Regardless of what anybody else say, I'm going to take them back. And so I want you to understand that this agape love come directly from God, and this is the love that supersedes every love. Nobody can understand how you help somebody that don't like you. Nobody can understand how you keep getting that boy out of jail and he messing up. Nobody can understand how you go and get that boy, that girl that's on drug, and they messing up stuff, they stole from you, did all of those things. But that agape love have that saying, I can't stop loving you. God bless you on today. I got to get out of here. But I would like for you that have been watching, I just want to pray. Father, I pray for those that are watching this. I pray that you would add the power, let them know the power of love, and give them power, God, and love. Let them, God, in each of these love, when they're tempted by love that don't work, ludicrous, erotic love, God, and pragmatic love, God, and the others love, God. Don't let them take no authority over the agape love. Let agape love, God, reign in their heart all day and throughout their life. In the name of Jesus, God, let them, if there's a relationship going bad, a husband and wife ready to divorce, bring back that agape love, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, bring it back, God. Restore it in the church, God, and honor them, God, that need to be honored through your love. And we give you the glory and pray. If there's a person that don't know you, God, we pray now that they would ask Jesus Christ to forgive them for their sin, and they believe in that Christ that died, that Jesus that died and was buried, and on the third day he rose again, and they want him to come into their heart and save them. Save the day, God, in the name of Jesus, and fill with the Holy Spirit. And I give you the glory and praise. Heal the sick and those that are in hospitals and convalescent home. Oh, God, restore their strength. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. God bless you, and thank God for you that tuned in today. And if the Lord put it in your heart, send an offering. 135 West Victoria Street. 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California, 90805. And you can go to PushPay if you have already that app downloaded, PushPay, or you can go to GiveAfy. And those are two apps, and look for Great Open Door Worldwide Ministry, and you can give in less than a minute if you already have the app downloaded. And I just want to let you know that we praise God for you, and we thank God for you, all of you that are listening. Also, Great Open Door have a food pantry. That's right, a food pantry. And we have food. Now, you don't just show up and say, Pastor Harden told me to show up. That's not the way it works. Call 562-423-8653. I'm going to give it to you again. 562-423-8653. And someone, if no one answer, leave a message, a voicemail, and they will call you back and tell you when you can come and get some food. And if you know somebody, a family that's struggling, we want to help. That's what we're doing. That's our charitable gift back to you. And if you want to send them a message, send a gift to help us continue to do the things we're doing in Great Open Door Worldwide Ministry and Moments of Inspiration, I thank you so very, very much. Now, I thank God for all of you, and I'll be looking for your letters and your and expecting you to do things to help us get this ministry on the road that we wanted to. Pass it on to somebody else. Let them know that I talked this morning about the seven words for Greek words for love and the power of love. God bless you. Have a blessed day, and I'll see you next week. God bless you. Same time.